It is once again our privilege to have Pastor Josh Overforce with us, as well as his family. And as he spoke to us this morning about what is in our hands, God has given us all things, our life and all of the wealth that he has placed at our disposal, our relationships, whether it is church relationships or even relationships with people in the community. We've got to change our perspective if we're going to be good stewards, that all that we have in our time and our place here in this world is given to us by God, that we should manage it shrewdly. And he's challenged us in that way. And now this evening, we're going to enter into judgment. Well, we're going to talk about it anyway. So, brother, if you'll come and share the word.
Not been committed to me, and you'd be very thankful for that if you knew me well, that it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. All judgment has been committed into his hand, to the Son. All right, well, thank you again for the opportunity to come back again here tonight and to share from God's Word one more time this evening. Before we get rolling here tonight, you received some items as you went out the door this morning. Okay, some of you weren't here this morning, and sorry, you kind of missed the illustration. Actually, I think, are there still some items left, Pastor, or are those? Okay, there actually are some items left, so if you didn't get an item, you weren't here this morning and didn't get an item, please, Pastor or maybe Mr. Holliday will be at the door as you leave tonight, and you can pick up one of those items. And I mention that here because I think sometimes we work with children and we give very practical hands-on illustrations for them. And those are memorable, aren't they? And they reinforce the lesson. So that's what that was attempting to do this morning. Using the analogy again to what's in your hand, everything that I have, my talents, my abilities, my spiritual gifts, the money I have in my bank, if I have any money in my bank, and if I continue to have any money in my bank, and my home, my wealth, my estate, everything that we have is from God. And the things that were given out this morning were to help us to see practically even the small things that I have can be used either one, these are primary things, these might not be the only things, but they're going to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to help someone to either get God's word in their hands, to hear the message of Jesus. I can't help but park on that just for a minute. Do you know that there's lots of people who live around us, even though we could say that we're a Christian nation, that they don't know about Jesus, and some of them don't know anything about the Bible at all? That's one of the most fruitful ministries, I think, pastoral ministries I've had was actually in a jail ministry. That could be you taking what you have, your knowledge, your resources, and simply sharing the gospel with someone. No, probably not in the jail. And especially, I wouldn't recommend just committing a crime so you can go to the jail to share the gospel. That would kind of ruin your testimony when you do that. But second of all, besides sharing the gospel, would actually be to do what? To build up the church, to edify, right? That's what the emphasis is put in the New Testament, is building up the believers. So I'm going to turn it back to you. What did you do? You maybe already did something. What you received, you might have thought, what am I going to do with what I got this morning? And that's part of it too. You know, the Holy Spirit sovereignly gives us the gifts that we have. Our spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed upon us, given to us because the Holy Spirit decided this is what I'm going to give him or her. And again, we said this morning, if you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. You have something in your hand, don't you? Some sort of resources. What did you do with those items to advance the gospel, to help build up believers? There could be other things. And encouraging new believers, too. Did you do or do you plan to do? All right, going to use it at special camp. Okay, thank you, yes. What else? What are you going to do? What do you plan to do with that? These are practical ideas. Yeah, write a note card to someone to encourage them. Any believers ever get discouraged at all? Are there times that you go through discouragement? Yeah, can that note, those words of encouragement, you know what? You know, those things, those are using not just the resources, but our spiritual gifts. And one of the gifts is exhortation, or showing mercy. I think exhortation sometimes involves encouragement. That mercy, showing mercy can encourage people as well. All right, what else? Yes, yes, yep, exactly. Sometimes it's just starting to build that relationship with that neighbor. I am convinced in the day that we live in that people are going to come to Jesus. Of course, there's the element of the Word of God. We have to be able to share God's Word with them. But they're going to come through the people that we befriend, that you say, I want to reach him or her, and you befriend them. Now, there does need to be caution sometimes, especially if you're a young believer or whatever, that you don't just, you know, go all the places that maybe an unsaved person would go. Do it on your terms, and you befriend them. You love them. Right? Okay. Anything else? Well, tonight we are going to look at the idea of rewards. And I would submit to you, even as we begin here tonight, that Jesus said, even one who would give a cup of cold water to someone will receive a reward for that too. And definitely for those little acts of kindness that we do as well in Jesus' name, God is going to reward those here tonight. As we're picking up where we left off from this morning, just to review a little bit, especially for those of you who might not have been here, or just to refresh our memory, we're talking about entrusted by God being faithful stewards of Christ. We have to think about, what is a steward? Because we don't use that in our vocabulary. And actually, if you have one of the booklets from this morning, I put a definition of a steward in here. One who is entrusted with the resources of his master, who is to wisely and carefully manage those resources in the way specified by his master in order to benefit the master. So you know what? It is all about the master. A steward was one who would be hired by someone who is wealthy, they were a businessman, and they wouldn't manage the business themselves. They would hire someone to manage their business, manage their resources, manage their people, and invest it to the benefit of the master. And that's what we are called to do, brothers and sisters. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that we are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Speaking of the gospel, we have been entrusted with that sacred privilege of sharing the gospel with people and using the resources that we have. And here's an important part that we're going to look at here tonight. At a future time, the steward will stand before the master to account for how he has managed his master's resources. I'm going to say that again. That's in the definition of a steward on page 2 of your booklet. At a future time, the steward or the manager will stand before the master to account for how he has managed his master's resources. Tonight, we will be talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And this is going to be on the last page of your booklet here tonight. The judgment seat of Christ, And this morning, I had you hold out your hands, and I'm going to have you do that again. Okay, if you have a handicap or something, I understand, that's okay. But could you just take your hands for a minute and cup them and hold them like this? We use this as a reminder this morning that everything that we have, whether it's our physical resources, our money, our talents, our time, our spiritual gifts, the gospel, the Word of God, are all given to us by the Master, and we are entrusted to use them for Him and for His glory. Tonight, we are going to take these hands, not just as if we've received them, but tonight, we're going to take our hands, and you can put them down, and imagine that we are holding them up. And the things that we received, the Master is going to evaluate the things that we received. What have you and I done with the things that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember as a youngster in public school, I remember hearing that summon before to go to the principal's office. Uh-oh, what have I done? Actually, probably there was a time I knew what I had done. I had actually got in a fist fight one time as a child. I'm not proud of it, but I was summoned to the principal's office. There's nothing more scary to be called by the boss into the boss's office. What have I done now? What does he want me for? Have I missed something? Am I going to be fired? Or those of you who have served in the armed forces to be called into the commander's office and having to knock on the door and requesting permission to enter and standing at attention as the commander is going to address you. There is going to be accounting for how we've lived our lives, and primarily, I think from our passages we'll see tonight, as to what we've done with the Master's resources. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, again tonight, we thank you that we have the opportunity to open up the Scriptures together, to hear from the Word of God. And Lord, tonight, I pray that we would hear from you. That the focus tonight would not be on the preacher or anything else, but it would be upon you, Lord, what you've entrusted to us in that day of accounting that is to come. So help us tonight as we think on these things, that we would be ready. We would be prepared to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking in a couple of primary texts. Both of those are going to be in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians tonight. And I suppose our main passage is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But these two passages, I think, are speaking of this same event that is yet future. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When you find 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading it. Chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward." Verse 15, "If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." And here's what I'm proposing to you here tonight. And this is primarily from this passage, primarily thinking of this event called the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes maybe you've heard the Bema. The Bema means judgment seat, the tribunal seat. And here's the proposition. The coming day of divine accounting. What am I talking about? The judgment seat of Christ. The coming day of divine accounting should impel believers to live each day as good stewards of Jesus Christ. And I'll read that again. The coming day of divine accounting should impel believers to live each day as good stewards of Jesus Christ. There's a saying that goes, at least in the army, you only expect what you inspect. You only expect what you inspect. In other words, if you're going to expect your soldiers that they're going to do the right thing, that they're going to do a good job, you need to be holding them accountable for what they have done and inspecting their work. Because if you don't do it, I think we kind of have, is it the second law of thermodynamics where things just kind of go down? I see it in a house with children, and I can see it in my own life. If we don't work intentionally on order, disorder and chaos comes naturally, doesn't it? Look at their room sometimes when if you've had children or you have children. You only expect what you inspect. And you know what? The same is true in the spiritual realm. There is a day of divine accounting, right? Why do people audit books for a business, for a school, hopefully for a government agency too, or for a church? Because there needs to be an accounting for how funds and resources are used. And that's really what the judgment seat of Christ is about. It's a divine accounting for what we've done with what we've been given. So, as we're coming to our text here today, I want to make sure I make this point known. This is one that must not be missed. This judgment is not a determination between heaven and hell. The judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether one goes up or one goes down. This judgment seat of Christ is not going to decide whether you go through the pearly gates or you wind up separated from God forever in the lake of fire. There is another judgment for the unsaved of all ages. It is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and it's found at the close of the book of Revelation. I'm just going to turn there for a moment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it. This is Revelation 20, verse 11. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and Hades, or death and hell, were delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, there are two different kinds of judgments. Two different kinds of judgments that are listed in the Bible. There's a judgment that is for believers, which is going to evaluate their works, evaluate, account for what they've done with what they've been given by God. But the second kind of judgment that is listed in Scripture is only for those who do not know God. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single person that will stand before this great white throne the presence of God will be an unbeliever. And there's two things that will be accounted for at that point for the unbelievers to confirm who they are. First of all will be their works. You know what? What we do proves who we are. What I do in my life proves who I am inside. And the works of the unbeliever will be examined and it will show who they are. You know what? I've heard it said before that it's a good indicator of a believer's life and their love for God by how much they give. Now, I mean, I spend money on the things that I think are important. I always have money left over for fishing or hunting gear, don't I? If you like golf, you always have stuff left for golf. But I hope that that doesn't just simply characterize my life. Unbelievers do the works of unbelievers. But second of all, the book of life will be examined as to whether their names are found. And it's a terrifying thing to see that anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, God will be forced to cast you into the lake of fire. If your name is not found written in the book of life, if your works prove that you are an unbeliever, God will cast you into the lake of fire. But the good news is the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The proof of God's love from humanity, from men, women, boys, and girls, is shown by the cross of Calvary. When God didn't even spare His only Son, the only one who has ever lived a perfect life, and let Him go to the cross, and Jesus willingly went to the cross and gave His life as a payment, the one time, once for all payment for all sin, past, present, and future, for all humanity. That's the good news here tonight. Jesus paid it all. He paid for all of your sins. My question for you here tonight is, have you put your faith and trust in Him? And I'll be honest with you. I can't do it. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict you of that here tonight. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not in Christ. And at this point, if you were to die today, you would be cast into the lake of fire. Call on Him. Trust Him tonight as your Savior. But we're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about a judgment for believers. That second class of judgment is an evaluation of the life of the believer. And again, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight, Paul is kind of addressing problems. So we think about 1 Corinthians. Actually, both the letters to the Corinthians were addressing problems. And be encouraged. There were churches in the New Testament era, the early church. The infant church was not a perfect church. It was filled with people who were sinners like you and I. So we're in good company. And he addresses the issue of carnality and infighting and a particular attachment to particular leaders, because some of the people in Corinth were saying, I am of Paul. I'm of the Paul group. Then there was another group that said, I'm Apollos. And they had their allegiances. And I can imagine if you came to the church, they didn't have church buildings at that time too, right? That adds a new dimension of issues if you're meeting in homes all the time too. But imagine there would have been a divide right down the Corinthian church, the Paul group and the Apollos group. And Paul argues, he says, aren't you just carnal? Aren't you just still babes in Christ? Aren't you just behaving like regular men and women do? Not like believers in Christ. And so he goes on to use a couple of different analogies. He used the analogy of a field and a farmer who plants a seed and waters the seed. His laborers, farm laborers, if you will. And then he uses the analogy of a building, right? Now think of a building. Think of building construction. Some of you perhaps are in the building trades. I'm in the building trade right now. That's what I'm doing between ministries. I've strapped the tools back on again and have got up my side cutters and my needle nose pliers and my strippers. And well, you can probably figure out what occupation I am perhaps by what I've already said in that too, right? You know what I've discovered? As I've been working and doing electrical work for probably around 30 years off and on or so, and some of you also worked in building trades, I've realized that there's lots of different levels of quality in work that is done. You've seen that? You know, you think maybe sometimes if you had a dream home, and you think, it's interesting, in the town we used to live in when I was in seminary and there were different contractors in town, there were contractors like, here's kind of the bottom level and here's the middle level and here's the guy that he always does it just right every time. Well, you know what? The same was true in Bible times. If a building was built, sometimes a building would be built well, quality materials, and other times there could be shoddy work. And that's something to bear in mind even as we look in this text here again too. Because first of all tonight, the judgment seat, that is the bema, when Christ will account, call us into account for the work that we've done, and I can just simply say, you know what? What Jesus is going to be evaluating, he's evaluating the life that we've lived as Christians. He's evaluating what we've done. He's evaluating things like our motives and why and the heart that we did things with. And sometimes we can do things for the wrong motives, to be seen of men. I can't help but think of Jesus' context of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He was speaking to the religious people. He said, they do everything to be seen of men. And you know what Jesus said about them? He said, they've received their reward already when they come pray in public just to be seen of men. Do you know what? There's a much better motivation to live for the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, I struggle with it. And every one of us who serve the Lord in some way, doesn't matter if you're in a Sunday school class or you're a youth leader or you're whatever, sometimes we can do it to be seen of men. And it's good when we say thank you. But I hope what motivates me and motivates you to live for God is not just the praise of men. It's not to be seen of men. It's what Jesus is going to do for us. It's listed in this passage. Because the coming day of divine accounting should impel believers. What do I mean by impel believers? Should force us on. It should drive us. You farmers, do you have part of your, maybe your baler or forgive me for this, the stuff you put manure on the field with, your manure spreader. You have impellers, things that move things. That's probably a horrible analogy even to connect with that. How about a pump? Okay, I'm thinking mechanical. A pump has impellers to drive things. Push them on! How about a cattle prod? Right? That gets people moving. What should drive us? What should motivate us as believers? We're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The first characteristic of this day, the judgment seat will be a day of divine revealing. So that's, if you have an outline, the judgment seat, that is the coming day of divine accounting, the judgment seat will be a day of divine revealing. Look in our text again here too. And the warning, like I haven't made this warning here. This is the warning given in the text.
Last part of verse 10, that last phrase in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, said, I will build my church. And Paul has come in his ministry, he has shared the gospel. He has faithfully shared the word of God. And the church is being built. The foundation has already been laid. And here we are, approximately 2,000 years later, and guess what? The church is not yet complete. Are we talking about the physical building here at First Baptist Church of Cumberland, Iowa? Is that the building? Is he talking about this? He's talking about believers. I think he's talking about believers probably in the context of a local church that we're being built up. He's using this analogy of a spiritual house, a building. And it's kind of interesting. I think if I understand it right, we're kind of the building blocks of the building, but we're also the ones that are helped to doing the building, right? I mean, obviously there were teachers and preachers that were preaching the message and faithful, but it makes a difference as to how we live that the church is built. So here's the warning. Take heed. Be careful how you build on it, right? We're building on that foundation, which is Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay that than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, and pay attention now, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Now, let me say, there is a difference in building materials that are out there too. Even if you go to one of those big box stores in Des Moines, the place where you save big money, you can go there and you can go in the 2x4 aisle. And let me tell you, there's some difference in the quality of building materials that you'll find at that place. And even from whatever those ones are called, so you go up to this level, there's a difference in building materials. There's a difference in quality. There's a difference in the labors in doing the building, isn't there? Because crews are different in the way they work. Every person is, well, some just aren't what they should be. Let's just put it that way. So we're building on this foundation, talking about our Christian life, talking about our ministry, talking about taking the resources that we've been given, right? We talked about some of those again this morning to review. We have our physical resources. We have our talents and abilities. We have abilities to teach. We have abilities to serve others. And many of those, so simply, all of them have been given by God. Some are actually empowered by God. You realize that a spiritual gift is something that is given by the Holy Spirit? It's something that the Holy Spirit empowers you to do? Or as we yield to Him, the Holy Spirit of God helps you to exercise your spiritual gift in the context of the local church. So, think this is what He's talking about in the building that's going on here again too. But there's a difference in the type, in the durability of the building materials that are being used. Because not everything will endure. Not everything will hold up to the test. And so the judgment seat will be a day of divine revealing. What do I mean by that, right? All the facades are going to be taken away. Think about sometimes working on things. Say you work on your car, right? You wind up taking some of the trim pieces off and you finally see what's beneath all that when you work on it. And, right? That's kind of what's going to be happening. Those things that are there on the outside that maybe not everybody knows what's underneath and our motivations for why we've done things and, you know, how well we've done things in our Christian life, those things are going to be stripped off. It's going to be a revealing, a day of revealing. Look at again verse 13. Each one's work, right? What's being evaluated again? Our work, our labor. We see that repeated again through the text again too. Our work, our labor will become clear. The day will declare it, right? It's going to be made known. So this is going to be a day of revealing. Look with me for a minute, if you would, in Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 13. Hebrews 4:13. Bible says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." You know what? This is speaking of, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the accounting that we must give. What have you done with what I've entrusted you with, right? We're stewards. If you're saved here today, you are a servant of Jesus Christ. You're a steward. You're a manager of what God has entrusted to you. And there's going to be a day of revealing. Second of all, the judgment seat will be a day of divine examining, or if you just like to make more simple, examining. What am I speaking about? I thought about testing. One of the things I got to do when I worked at the mine, I worked as an electrician, I got to work out in the pit, out in the open area of the mine. Actually, it wasn't a below ground, it was above ground, giant area where they've hauled away millions and millions of tons of dirt and rock and everything. And we had these large electric cables. That's how things ran there. It ran by electricity. That's why an electrician is working on them. They weren't just diesel powered. They weren't powered by some other sort of fuel. They're powered by electricity. And we'd hook up the large electric cables. And to test the integrity, we would put super high voltage on an already high voltage cable. And when you would do what we called a high pot test, that high voltage would determine if that cable was going to hold up and would withstand the rigors of 40,160 volts or 7,200 volts. That's a lot of voltage. You want to make sure it's going to hold. That was the test to determine if this was real, if it was genuine. And that's what this test is going here to. It's a day of divine examining. You know what? If the picture here again that's used again in our text right here, look in verse 13. The day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will do what? Will test each one's work. Do you see that last part of that key phrase? What sort it is, right? It's speaking of the building materials and the quality of the labor or work, I think, that we've done, right? Building materials that are listed before. Did you see those listed in the verses that are previous? Verse 12, gold, silver, precious stones. Stop right there. Look at that second category, wood, hay, and straw. Even think about the children's story about the three little pigs. Do you remember? The first two lazy little pigs built with what? Wood and straw. The third house was built with bricks. Now, you know what? The testing agent in that particular case was the big bad wolf as he huffed and puffed. How did that work out for the house that was made of straw and the house that was made of sticks or wood? It didn't turn out well. It turned out badly, didn't it? But even as that wolf huffed and puffed and blew at the house of bricks, did it fall? It withstood the test, didn't it? When we come to the judgment seat of Christ, when that day when what we've done with what we've been given as a steward, the testing agent is said to be fire. Now, don't run too far with this. Don't think at all that this has anything to do with the hellfire, with the fires of hell. Because, brothers and sisters, you know what? Jesus already took the wrath of God for us. My sin was laid upon Jesus when He was on the cross. When Jesus cried out, "My Father, why have You forsaken Me?" My sin was laid upon Jesus. My sin has already been dealt with on the cross of Calvary, and Jesus will not punish me. And if you are in Christ, Jesus will not punish you for your sin. He's already punished Jesus in our place. And that's good news. But fire, that's the testing agent to determine our works. That's what the text says. The fire will test each one's work what sort it is. So this is what the examination is going to be. It's not going to be the big bad wolf huffing and puffing. It will be the fire that will test the work. The judgment seat will be a day of divine examining. Just to refer to the verse that's referred to there, again, to at least make mention of it, Romans 14, and you don't need to turn there, but Romans 14, 10 through 13, Paul is encouraging believers there not to judge their brothers. Okay, thinking about things about the foods that people would eat, probably someone with a sensitive conscience that maybe wouldn't eat things like pork, or maybe the other type of context would be one person who esteemed one day more than another, and all those things. You know what? Paul said, don't worry about that. They personally will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ or the judgment seat of God themselves. You know what? The judgment seat is going to be something that is going to be individual. I will have to stand before God and give an account for my life, for the words that I've said, the things that I've done, the work that I've done for my stewardship. Personally, I'll have to stand before it. What sort it is. It's fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. The quality, the type, right? The wood, hay, and stubble are combustible materials. Will they stand the test of the fire? I mean, how many of you who have been on volunteer fire departments have come up to a place, maybe it happened, the fire happened at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you come back and you look at maybe a house that's been there for 80 or 100 years, or a barn or something like that. The only thing that might be standing sometimes is that stone chimney or a brick chimney that was left there, right? Because that will withstand the fire, right? That's again, too, talking about the building materials that are used. The gold, silver, precious stones. The quality of the work, the materials that we've used will be tested and they will stand the test, right? Because if we do stand the test, we pass that exam, we pass that testing, the judgment seat will be a day of divine rewarding. And that's the final point here tonight. The judgment seat will be a day of divine rewarding. First of all, the judgment seat will be a day of divine revealing. It'll be a day of divine examining. And finally, the judgment seat will be the day of divine rewarding. What's the point? Well, obviously, the judgment seat is an evaluation of our life in the body. Actually, turning over, and would you go there too? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is another primary passage I refer to that deals with the judgment seat of Christ. This one specifically says it is the judgment seat of Christ. Look in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Do you know those verses? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Paul gives us that assurance that if you're a believer here, that if we die, right? He's talking about our bodies. He talks about this body that I have as being a tent. This is a tent. A tabernacle, a tent. How many of you live in a tent 365 days of the year? Probably none of you. I know some of you, maybe you've lived in a fifth wheel. That's not a tent. It might be mobile, but it's not a tent. Right? We think of a tent, that's something temporary. Only when they're on the move, only when you have to do you stay in something like that. You know what? This body that we have here is not the permanent dwelling that we have. God has prepared something for us in heaven. That's why we think about to be absent from the body, to be a way out of this body is to be present with the Lord in heaven. And that's the assurance that we have as believers. But Paul continues the same train of thought here again too. Verse 9 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. You know what Paul's goal was in life? He wanted to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That should be my goal. That should be your goal, is to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. For, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, right? That's our works, isn't it? The things that we've done, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. By the way, there's an important definition. The word bad could also be understood to be worthless. I think it's where we get our word foul, if I was reading it correctly. Worthless. I'll wrap this up here and we get back to our text here again too. I remember getting Bartlett pears from the store, from the grocery store, and getting them, and you know, they're kind of a little bit green, and you put them and try to ripen them out a little bit, and they're getting just nice, and that nice golden yellow color on the outside. Don't you love a Bartlett pear? It's just sweet and juicy, and you take your knife and cut it open, and it's rotten in the middle. You know what that is? It's worthless. Do you know the things that we do in this life, how we spend our time, what we spend our energies on, are either going to last for eternity, they're going to make a difference in heaven, or they're going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to just melt away, right? Because what does fire do to those things? They just burn right up, right? Imagine you're in that home, you're seeing that home, and fire all of a sudden engulfs that home. If it's made of wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn up, isn't it? It's not going to stand the test of time. But if we built with gold, silver, and precious stones, they're going to endure. They're going to pass the fire test. And that's what the judgment seat of Christ is intended to do, is to show what we've done in the body, whether it has lasting eternal value or whether it was just worthless. It was good for nothing, what we did. It's going to be a day of divine rewarding. You can even see it here again in the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, as we close tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. If anyone's work, right, what's the judgment seat of Christ? It's about what we've done here in the body while we've been here on earth. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, right? If it endures, it's past the fire test, right? It's gold, silver, and precious stones. What happens to us? He will receive a reward. You know what? That's what's going to happen, is we are going to receive the reward that we deserve. Right? If you've done something, if you work, don't just think of a reward as something extraordinary. Just think of it even as your wages, right? If you go to work for someone, do you just volunteer all the time? Not expecting a paycheck? You know, when I work, I actually expect to get a paycheck from my boss. I need to feed my family. I need to live. I've worked hard, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I already feel the arthritis or something coming in from the work. I've worked hard. I receive a reward. I receive my wages. You know what? If you've lived for Jesus here now, if you've served Him faithfully, if you've served Him faithfully in your local church, if you've shared the gospel, if you've taught others faithfully, if you've taken care of your children and brought them up in God's ways, if even as a young person you've used your talents for God and been faithful, God is going to reward you. He won't miss it. He won't miss anything that you've done. You'll receive a reward if your work endures. But look at verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Isn't that always sad sometimes when there's a house fire and people have put so much energies into their building, working hard on it? We've been there. We've done the fixer-uppers. I've never built a house from scratch, but you put all that work into it and it's gone. Some people who are believers. This judgment is for who? for believers. Some people who are believers are going to be here. And sometimes people might have thought, wow, I thought they were faithful Christian. I thought they were busy for God, or, you know, they're always really happy when they're at church or whatever, or talking about all the things they're doing. You know, and it goes through the fire test. And it's burned up. There's nothing left. He'll suffer loss. I can't help but think, even the Apostle John, I'm just going to refer to it because I don't have time to go there, in 2 John, warns the believers there to not be carried away by false doctrine, lest they lose their reward, what was due to them. But here's the good news. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. The picture is someone coming out of that building as it's been burned down, and they get out with their life, but they have nothing left of their clothes on their back. Or that with our neighbors growing up. I was just a youngster then too. Their house burned, and it was gone. It's all gone. But for us as believers, it should be a day, not that we fear, but it should be a day that we look forward to. Let me just share this with you as we close. Do you know what? The God will give the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. He'll give the crown of life, James 1:12. You know what? He'll even give increased responsibility in the kingdom. I think that's referred to, at least in the Gospels. Matthew 25:20-23. In Luke 19:15-18. If we've been faithful here, the principle, even if you looked at Luke chapter 16 this morning, if we're faithful in a little, we'll be faithful in much. If we've served faithfully God here on earth, He's going to give us increased responsibility in the kingdom and even in heaven in eternity. I don't have time to develop that. I didn't do detailed study on that, but that's the principle that I find throughout Scripture. If you're faithful here, God's going to reward you greater in heaven. I really respected my dad. He was older when I was born to him. I had great respect for him. He was a World War II veteran. He was a gentleman. I loved to please my dad. There was nothing more that I would want my dad to say, "You did a good job. I'm proud of you." And some of you perhaps have never heard that. You've longed for that. You long to hear that from your dad or from your mom. But if you're a believer and you've been faithful, we're going to hear that from God. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My question for you tonight is, what are you laboring for? What are you working for? What have you done with what you've been given? Right? What's in your hand? As you present that back before God again, what have you done with what you've been given? That's a question that Jesus is going to ask of me and going to ask of you. And I'm going to read it, and this is what we'll close with tonight. If you'd like to read it with me the second time, the steward's confession. "All that I have is from God, belongs to God, and it be used to further the gospel and church of God to the glory of God." Would that be your confession tonight? Then read it with me. "All that I have is from God, belongs to God, and is to be used to further the gospel and church of God to the glory of God." What a day that will be to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May he hear that. May we hear that from his lips as we stand, each one, individually before him. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he has paid it all of our sin. We do not have to pay for our sin. We do not have to worry about hell if we are in Christ. We trusted him and know him. But Lord, we have been entrusted with a stewardship, and help us even tonight that we would realize that we need to be faithful. Faithful in the things that we've been entrusted with, the gifts, talents, and abilities the wealth and money and other resources that we have, and even our own lives. Help us to use these to honor and glorify you so that we one day can hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.